This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's good to hear from Woodsy that last hour, but now we kind of miss him a little bit more. Paulie and I were just talking on the break. It'll be good to have him back tomorrow, even if he's not physically in the studio with us. And that always comes with some challenges in terms of remotes. And, well, we dealt with it for almost like an entire year in the Corona Cave. Yeah. You were here. We were there.
It was not fun.
Wasn't the best, but we've done it before. We can do it again for two more days.
At least we have sports and
yes,
stuff to talk about.
Yes,
whether he's here in studio.
A day Padres game today coming up at 1:10. We will preview the series finale against the Miami Marlins coming up later this hour. Still have another four-pack of San Diego County Fair tickets to give away this hour as well. So keep listening for that. And I want to continue with the topic. Woodsy kind of interrupted a little bit what we were doing, but and I'm glad he did. But the question was, Mike Shildt said this week, Padres are a good team.
Good teams capitalize on other teams' mistakes, and we're a good team.
And I wanted to see if fans agreed with that sentiment and what that really means to be a good team. We've heard a few good but not great teams. We've heard,
to be fair, Shildt didn't say great teams.
He didn't say great. Woodsy said above average team. I don't know if that quite gets to the level of good of where you know. Does it really matter at this point in the season? I don't know if it does or not, but wanted to get your thoughts on that. 833-288-0973. We can get some phone calls later this hour as well. Right now, though, Paulie's got some headlines. Let's get to the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a All right.
It is the Rindle Report, and it is brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com for more information.
Speaking of frozen, Paulie, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is our season, and we're kicking off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops. Head to your local cafe today, May 29th, from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you. Any other sponsor reads that need to be read here? I think we're okay now.
No, I think we're okay for now.
All right. Testing. Is this going to work? Paging Basketball Ben.
Ah, I am awake. There. Thank you.
Perked up a little
bit. What's
up? We haven't gotten a chance to talk too much about the lone NBA game last night. Of course, the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, they swept. They are waiting their finals opponent. Finals will begin next week. And Dallas was looking to close out the Western Conference finals last night. They had a 3-0 series lead heading into game four. But the Timberwolves hung on. They won a 105-100 last night. Anthony Edwards bounced back. He had 29-10. Probably the biggest impact for the Timberwolves was Karl Anthony Towns, who played terribly in their previous game. It was like 0-for-8 from 3-point. Just could not get the ball to go down. And he had 25 points last night. He was 4 of 5 from 3-point range. And, yeah, Minnesota at least going to have a gentleman's sweep here. But I don't know. Do you think they can back and make this series interesting?
So this is the very always intriguing case because Minnesota has had home court advantage, which means now they have two of the last three games left at home. So they only need to win one, like they steal can, one more road game to win the series. No one has ever come back in the NBA from a 3-0 series deficit. Of course, it's happened once in Major League Baseball. We all remember that one, Red Sox, Yankees. It's happened four times in the NHL, including most recently 2014 when the LA Kings did it to the San Jose Sharks. But never in basketball. A series where it's just a sport where if you won three in a row against a team, you're usually better than that team. There's less flukiness, right. You know, in terms of like hockey. All right, you get a lucky puck, flies in here or there. Things can sometimes be a little bit different. Baseball, obviously, there's more randomness there. And it's only happened once in baseball. But in basketball, it's never happened. Do I think it's going to happen in this series? No. I think Luka Doncic is too good to lose four games in a row to probably any team, but I certainly could see them winning at home in game five. They could be up for that one in front of their home crowd. And then you go to game six and, all right, now it's one game. And, you know, your shots are falling, you're on the road, that happens. And then you get it to a game seven, and at that point, Minnesota would probably be favored. So
I think they're obviously still in the driver's seat, but they're comfortable. I mean, they went into Minnesota, they took the first two.
They did.
And, yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the closest we've ever seen is how many times has 3-1 even happened being down in a series? I just think of the Cavs in whatever that was, 2016.
And that required Draymond Green suspension. And
they were down 3-1.
Everything,
it was just because of the team they were going. It was the Warriors who had just absolutely rolled through everybody all season long, so it felt like a bigger deficit than a 3-1 series lead. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. In fact, I would actually put my money on Dallas to close it out tomorrow night
on the road. All right, well, you do sometimes do that sort of thing
here in Dallas
as well. So
all right, next up, I saw I've been following the story just a little bit. Birmingham Southern, so the school is closing their doors. They are shutting down on Friday at the end of the month. And their baseball team is still playing baseball. They're in the D3 College World Series, Birmingham Southern.
You know what their mascot is?
No.
They're called the Rowdy.
The Rowdy?
The Birmingham Southern Rowdy. Isn't that kind of cool?
R-O-W-D-Y. That's the way
like
Rowdy,
Rowdy, Roddy Piper. They're the Rowdy.
Huh. Good to know. I guess I don't really need to know that because the school's going away. But
okay.
So they're going to literally represent
shout out to his
school.
Family.
Yeah. Good point.
Shout out to his family.
So the baseball team will be in the D3 College World Series coming up, and they're going to represent a school that literally no longer exists. And part of the struggles with that is, well, obviously their financing and their funding has gone out the window. So earlier this week, they started a GoFundMe, which will help pay for their staff, their travel to the College World Series, championship rings that they've earned, and more. And their goal was $100,000, and I've got it right here. I will refresh it just in case that has changed. They were hoping to raise $100,000. They have already surpassed that. $105,000 going to the baseball team so that they can have a fun run here, get whatever they need taken care of financially, and then hopefully go win a World Series. But again, representing a school that does not exist.
Sorry to the Rowdy. Of course, this has already happened here in San Diego this year. St. Catherine, University of St. Catherine.
Like San Marcos? Where's that at?
They were in San Marcos, and they moved. Yeah, no, they moved. Maybe they moved to San Marcos somewhere, anywhere. They announced they were closing their doors while their women's beach volleyball team was at the NIAA national tournament in Tennessee. This was late April, so this was like 1 month ago. The same thing happened here in San Diego. So
it's a fun way to go out for them. And then finally, just a stupid story here, but a guy ordered a triple cheeseburger from McDonald's on DoorDash. And he put,
oh, I think I saw this.
He put in the notes.
Is this the guy who said, hold the burger?
Hold everything.
Hold everything.
He had everything removed. You know, you can customize the menu options and, you know, pickles extra onions or whatever you want. So he was going through the customizations and, he got a triple cheeseburger, no ketchup, no pickle, no diced onions, no beef patty, no mustard, no regular bun, no American cheese, no salt. He was charged $5.39 still for the burger minus all the customizations. He did not have a delivery fee. He had a free delivery fee. $3 service fee. He left an $11 tip for the DoorDasher. And after tax, his total for this meal was $19.81.
Am I supposed to be mad about this? This is on him. He wanted to do this.
He was doing this like as an experiment. He wanted to see what would happen. I don't think he was...
I don't blame the restaurant for, like, whatever. Like, okay, you should have caught this and not charged the guy or something. No, you're an idiot. Go ahead, pay your $20 for what you wanted, which is an empty box, essentially.
It was an experiment for sure. But he uploaded a screenshot of the DoorDash chat. DoorDasher Dan says, cheeseburger with everything removed, including the bun and meat. So you're going to get an empty box. You good with that? She says, yes, perfect. Thank you. And sure enough, he opened his bag from McDonald's, and there was just an empty little burger container box.
It was like all sealed, DoorDash, ready to go, and it was one empty box inside for $20.
Yeah. earlier in that conversation, his dasher, hi, I'm at McDonald's. Your order came through as nothing. You had a McDouble with nothing on it. So he's tried this before. No bun, no meat. I'm going to cancel this order if you don't let me know what it should be, please. He goes, I just want the wrapper. But he paid $20 for a wrapper and an empty box. So if you ever wondered what happens when you order a sandwich with nothing on it, no bread, no meat, no condiments... You will still get charged.
Jeter in the chat says, and it was the wrong box too. Yeah, he got a McChicken box instead of the cheeseburger
box. Yes, a deluxe
box.
McCrispy.
McCrispy box. Wait,
which makes it even better.
This isn't the box I ordered.
Like, don't waste the good boxes for this idiot. Just give him the McCrispy.
Well, I guess he was the big winner though, because he spent $20 and now he's being talked about across the country. So best $20 he ever spent on an empty box. And a whole lot of social media clout. I did see, because we love talking about food on this show, that the fast food wars are potentially returning. That Burger King and McDonald's are like doing $5 value meals again, possibly here this summer, and other fast food restaurants are going to have to like match the prices. I try not to eat much fast food anymore, especially after losing the weight, but can always be tempted by a good $5 extra value meal.
You know, like, it's not even a cheat meal. Like, this is not good for me.
No. It's not good enough to be a cheat meal, really.
Right.
But
when the prices now have gone through the roof, especially if you use, like, a DoorDash or Grubhub,
then it's easy to say no.
Then it's really easy to say no, but you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So, yeah, I guess... maybe enough people are fed up with the high prices and they got to lower something.
A $5 value meal. If that's a sandwich of some sort, burger, fries, and a drink. Like fries alone at McDonald's are almost $5.
Yeah.
Just the order of fries.
Jeez.
So to get all of those together would be a really good discount if they're going to bring that back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then after you eat your summer long of $5 meals, we'll have you ready for SDFatLoss.com later this year. Just SDFatLoss.com. Just give them a call. Tell them I sent you, get $200 off right there.
Like, I will have some cheat meals in Vegas next week because we put in like 30,000 steps a day just walking all over the strip. You feel fine eating whatever you want, but it's not going to be McDonald's.
Yeah,
it's not going to be.
I let myself go in the box yesterday for the game, but I did.
But that's a cheat meal.
I did my hour workout and I Pelotoned and I had pretty much a light breakfast and lunch. So I knew I was going to eat a lot. And then I got really full. I mean, I had a dog and some mac and cheese and I had a couple pieces of sushi and I'm going, I am full. It's like, I can't eat like
it's
I used to anymore.
Hell of a combination.
That's the beauty of it.
Hot dog,
it was
mac and cheese, sushi.
It's still kind of in there a little bit, kind of mixing up together.
What kind of sushi?
It was just a platter. They had some rolls and some nigiri. There was salmon and shrimp and tuna, if you ever wondered. They do have those things at Petco Park available. And then the Caesar salad, you know, to be healthier. With croutons, which are delicious. As Wood said, I would just eat a bag of croutons as a snack because they're delicious.
Yes. Love croutons.
All right, let's take a break. Good job on the Rundle Report. We'll come back. If you would like to join us, now is the time. 833-288-0973. Do you agree with Mike Schilt? He says the Padres are a good team. What
We're
does
a good
that
team.
Mean? Yes. Do you agree or disagree? Give us your thoughts. Give us a call next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's very hard not to be a prisoner of the moment when following a baseball team over the course of the season and trying to answer the question, are the Padres a good team? Certainly after last night, you feel like, yeah, they're a good team. I mean, their fifth starter can throw seven shutout innings, and they've got maybe the greatest dominant reliever that we've ever seen coming in and striking out 13 batters in a row, and Jerks and Profar is amazing. You go, yeah, they're at least good, if not better than that. You have to bring the whole package, though, into perspective when you're trying to evaluate a team. Like, for instance, the Chicago Cubs. They a good team? I think a couple of weeks ago you would have said, of course. Right. They're leading the NL Central. They've been playing, you know, really good baseball. And then they go on a slump and, you know, they fall out of the behind the Padres and the Giants now, and they wouldn't even be in the playoffs. Now, are they not a good team, even though they were 7 days ago before they lost five in a row? They did win last night over the Brewers to even that series at a game apiece. So, like the Cardinals, at the beginning of the year, we go, oh, they're an awful team. Well, they've actually played much better lately. They're up to just a game under 500. They're a game and a half out of a playoff spot. Now, are they a good team or not? I mean, you have to take the whole package into consideration. So when you're
a lot of qualifiers
evaluating, are the Padres a good team? You can't forget about the series getting swept by the Rockies, you know, getting obliterated by the Phillies, the five-game losing streak there that knocked them, what, four games under 500 at that point. But you also do have to remember the good as well. Now, the record is the record, and that, you know, that can be part of your assessment of whether a team is good or not. But remember, the record is going to change. It'll go up, it'll go down over the course of the season. We're just asking overall, are the Padres, like Mike Schilt says, a good team? And I think, ultimately, from what I've seen, I think the answer is yes. I think they're a good team. And
yeah, I mean, you know, it's cliche, but good teams do take advantage of opportunities, and we're a good team, and we took advantage of opportunities. And
now, just based on that comment, good teams capitalize on other teams' mistakes, and we're a good team. Thinking back through the 50-plus games so far this season, do you really feel like the Padres have more often than not capitalized on the other team's mistakes? Because I don't know that I do feel that way. They certainly did on Monday.
I don't remember a ton of games that other teams were like giving them a whole bunch of stuff, though, over the course of the season. I remember Monday.
I can think of a few where they are drawing walks, they didn't strike out a ton.
That's true, yeah.
And they still lose.
They haven't capitalized on walks every single game, that's for sure.
That's another team's mistake, walking you.
Here's why, and by the way, keep also in mind that there are good teams that don't live up to their potential. I would say last year's team, still, even after the entire season, was probably a good team that never quite lived up to what it should have been and was never able to put it all together. They absolutely had the talent to be a good team. I would say, though, ultimately, that the reason why I agree with Mike Schilt is hear how the other teams and they talk about the Padres. You know, they look at the Padres and they just see good baseball players generally playing pretty good baseball. Are they a perfect team? Not even close. Not even close to a perfect team. Are they a great team? Not really. But good team, I think that we can say through a third of the season that the Padres are a good baseball team. Now, it comes down in the end to execution and probably a game or two either way. The Padres are on pace right now to win 84 games. Sometimes that gets you in the playoffs now with the wild card era. Sometimes it does not. You probably have to play a little bit better than you did in the first third to make sure you get into the postseason. Can the Padres win a few more games than they did in the first third based on, you know, the kind of talent that they have? I think they can. But would it shock me if, you know, something happens, they disappoint, you know, an injury or two happens. There are a lot of things that can happen over the course of a baseball season. So ultimately, they're kind of still right around where they were when we started the year in terms of where I thought that they were, but maybe a little bit better than I thought that they were going to be.
Certainly more fun overall, yeah, and more entertaining than I thought.
Yeah. Let's go out to the phones, 833-288-0973. We got Magic calling in. Hey, Magic, how you been?
Morning, guys. Hey, a great show as usual. I don't know if you remember me, but I called you guys around the second week of the season, told you I was not a Padre fan, but I was leaning more this year, and I was going to give him 30 games.
That's right.
And you guys said to give him 60. Well, here we are, guys, and not much has changed. So I don't consider them a good team, and I certainly don't consider them a great team. But what I do designate them as, they're very entertaining. Now, what the caveat is, there are, to me, five or six great players on that team, and there are 6 to 10 players that are good on that team. On most nights, they can be great. On the other 50% of the time, they're just good. So you don't know what to expect from them on a nightly basis, given the record at 28-25. So I am going to give them the rest of the year to prove to me that they're more entertaining, that they can be designated as a great team or good team. That's why I sit with it. I'm going to give it the rest of the year, and I'll give you guys a call back, and you guys tell me, I just want to see you guys prove to me that they can be a good team and a great team.
All right.
I'll listen on this night.
All right, thanks, Magic. So they've at least earned an extension,
yeah,
like a tax extension from Magic. Like, okay, well, you've done enough that I'm not still ready to pass judgment on you guys, but I'm willing to keep watching and keep an open mind as to whether or not you might end up being a good team at the end of the season. You know, he said they have great players. I mean, their great players haven't really been great. Arraez has been great since he arrived. Suarez has been great. Estrada clearly has been,
yeah,
great lately. Profar has been great, actually, this year.
But Profar was not a great player.
No.
You expected great things
from. No, he was not, nor was Estrada. But the players that you expected greatness from, Tatis, Machado, certainly, have not been great so far this season. Dylan Cease has had moments of greatness and moments of more okayness, but he's been pretty good over the course of the year. I will definitely, you know, say
pitching's been overall
been the best starter.
Good.
Yeah. Yu Darvish had some struggles and then had an unbelievable stretch where he was as good as he's ever been.
And I know we'll get to today's game in our next segment, but I'm expecting Darvish to fully bounce back. I expect the Padres to sweep the Marlins today.
That's fair. That was
uncharacteristic to see him get touched up like he did. What was that, Friday night?
Yeah. Yeah, but that was the Yankees.
It's the Yankees, and apparently, according to Eric Hosmer, maybe he was. They were getting some inside information. They were cheating, but
no.
Maybe Campy was helping him out a little bit with pitch tipping.
Eric Hosmer tweeted that he thought Luis Camposano was setting up too early and giving Yankees hitters an indication of what kind of pitch and where it was coming. And at the very least, that makes a huge difference, especially for hitters the caliber of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge doesn't need any help.
Even if they've just got an instinctual little edge, like, God, it feels like Campy's like raising up behind me early, and I think that means probably high fastball here. You're done against Juan Soto if that's the case. I wonder if there'll be any adjustments, because I would certainly expect Camposano to be behind the plate again today after Higashioka caught Waldron last night. By the way, because it's a tough job catching a knuckleballer, and Waldron's done so well, I want to make sure to give Kyle Higashioka some praise for what he's done before I point out the obvious reality.
This is no offense, but
he did walk last night after a streak of 18 straight plate appearances in which he had made an out. Kyle Higashioka has been an absolute black hole offensively. He had that home run in the first couple weeks of the season, and essentially has done nothing.
It's been tough
offensively for the Padres. And while they weren't expecting him to be an offensive star, he's a backup catcher. He was a decent, for a backup catcher, you know, he's going to hit you your 230, 240, 10 home runs. They're not getting anything close to that offensively out of Kyle Higashioka. I'm not saying,
I mean, we've seen worse. We ran Austin Hedges out there every single day for years.
Yeah. Bring Brett Sullivan back up. You need someone who's, you know, that's going to be tough to catch Waldron. And he's doing a decent job of it. But they need to get some sort of offense out of Kyle Higashioka every once in a while. It just can't be an offer every single time they put their backup catcher in. But for the last 3 weeks, I think it's been an offer every single time. That is a minor but concern that no one really pointing out this morning that does need to be addressed a little bit the Padres lineup.
That's not going to be the reason why the Padres don't win the World Series or anything like that.
A lot of little things like that can add
that
up
is
to be
something that you can eventually hopefully change.
Big things as well.
That's something you can control.
So, you know, hopefully the answer is Kyle Higashioka just eventually starts hitting to what his level is, which is not fantastic, but is better than what we've seen lately. All right, we will come back, and we will definitely take a look ahead to today's series finale as the Padres go for the sweep of the Miami Marlins. That is coming up next on Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I want to get to a couple of things quickly before we preview today's series finale against the Marlins. First, we got one more four-pack of tickets to give away. But the San Diego County Fair opens June 12th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds all the way through July 7th. Details at sdfair.com. But if you call now, third caller, Paulie's going to get to you. Be patient because we got a couple other things to go. But call now, 833-288-0973. And we'll see if we can give away one more fair four-pack of tickets here on 97.3 The Fan. I also want to play the Incorporator again because we had it, 4 hours
Got
ago
to.
In the morning. And it was such a good one from yesterday. We gave Jesse Agler the word crepuscular to try to work into last night's broadcast. It means having to do with twilight. Now, again, he was working with Bob Scanlon, who has also done the Incorporator before when he's filled in for Jesse. So just know that Bob is probably a little more attenuated to when something unusual comes out of Jesse's mouth during one of these broadcasts. So here's what it sounded like in the second inning last night against the Marlins.
And we set this up yesterday. We said, look, this is going to be an easy
word. Sure. Having to do with twilight during a baseball game, absolutely.
Easy.
But can you get it through in the broadcast without anybody noticing? And he could not.
Padres' Petco Park struggles well documented at this point, particularly in night games. Ball outside, 2-1, and for whatever reason or reasons or non-reasons, this has not just been a great team at night at home. Not particularly nocturnal or crepuscular. Pitch here is inside, nearly hit him. They are 3-15 in night games at Petco Park. 9-3 in day games here in San Diego. Go figure.
Is that a Ben and Woods word you just slid in there, Jesse?
Obviously. 3-1 to Otto Lopez. The pitch is swung on, hit in the air to center field, straight away pretty deep, but Azokar tracks it down in the gap, and he will make the catch. So the palindromic Otto Lopez is out, one away here in the third. That was my own.
Well done.
It is a Tuesday. Number 9 hitter catcher Nick Fortes.
That's a celebration.
It is a Tuesday. After all, Bob was on
exceptional
to him.
Exceptional verbiage.
Bob was definitely on
Word
to
Smith
him
that you
time.
Are.
Yep, crepuscular.
I can hear the smile on Jesse's face, the little smirk, that S-eating grin. I love that.
That was fantastic. Congratulations. We did get a winner for our fair tickets.
Yes, Keeley going to the fair.
Keeley, good job calling in. Congratulations. All right, we'll preview the Padres-Marlins game right after our final check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. A Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Summer is our season. They're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops, head to your local cafe today, May 29th from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply. So we've been asking, are the Padres a good team? And I know one answer. A great team definitely wins today. A good team usually wins today's game and finishes off the sweep of the last place Marlins. And it's not simply because they're last place. We told you before the series that they've been playing good baseball, had won 8 of 11 before they arrived in San Diego. But I was at the game last night. What was the game? What was the total time of game last night?
2:01.
2:01. And Matt Waldron was in the strike zone, gets a ton of credit for that. But I also saw some poor at-bats by the Miami Marlins, a team that is on a West Coast road trip, just went to Arizona, San Diego, at the end, getaway day, last game of their road trip. This is a team that should be mentally vulnerable today to just, you take care of business, they're ready to get on a plane, get back home, get off the West Coast, get back to the East Coast. Quick outs. They're ready to go. They look like they were ready to go home last night.
Yes.
Now you've got Yu Darvish. If he's sharp, if Matt Waldron can do what he did, Yu Darvish can, you know, with all the kind of repertoire that he has against one of the weaker lineups in baseball, this should be a game that you win and win handily. And I will say that with one caveat. Braxton Garrett, who is the starter for the Marlins today, pitched a gem his last time out. And he hasn't been great this year. He's got an ERA over 5. But he's left-handed.
Good CG, right?
Complete game, I think 3 or 4 hitter against the Arizona Diamondbacks his last time out. Now, he threw a lot of pitches as well, which could at play to your advantage with the San Diego Padres. But you're taking on a pitcher who found something in his last start, and you're hoping he doesn't have that, and you don't continue, you know, the struggles against left-handers, which are getting a little bit better. I mean, you've got Profar, you got Solano. Tatis had 2 hits last night. I think I saw the stat. Padres are hitting .277 against lefties in their last 5 games, which is way better than they were before. They got the average up to like .234. This is a game. If you want to tell me you're a good team, win this game. Complete the sweep. Get to 3 games above .500. I know the series win is already locked up, and you say, hey, we win series. You got to sweep a series occasionally to make some hay. To actually make a difference. You don't want to be the team that's constantly a game above 500, a game below 500, 2 above, 500, 2 below, 1 above. You want to be the team that hovers around 10 games above 500, which means when you get to August or September, you don't have to play your butt off to make the playoffs. You just have to win the games you're supposed to win, not go on a losing streak, and win a couple of series, and you'll cruise into the playoffs. If you go into September at 3 games above 500, you probably still have a chance, but then you got to play a really good last month. Don't put yourself
the pressure's on.
Don't put yourself in the position of last year where they absolutely had to win every single game. And they won 14 of 16. And guess what? They came up two games short of the playoffs. You can't put yourself in that position where you have to win every game down the stretch. Put yourself in a position where you have to play 540 baseball down the stretch, 520 baseball down the stretch, and you cruise into the playoffs with four or five games remaining. I'm fine with that for the San Diego Padres. And one way you do that and show that you're a good team is that you win today's game and you stomp on a team that is ready to go home and get on a plane and get back to Miami.
You got their ace yesterday. You handled your business. You got to win. I mean, like, of course, it's not a must win. Those hardly exist in baseball and certainly don't exist in May in baseball. But, man, like I've been saying all season, I'm like, I'm ready for this team to go get hot, go on a run, win 9 out of 11, you know, win 13 out of 15 or something. Like, you got to start putting some wins together. And they've won their series over the last, what, 6 out of the last 8 or whatever it's been. And that's great and all. But ultimately, what's their record in those 8 series?
So, like, so they've won 7 of 9 series at this point, including this one now against the Marlins. They are currently, let's see, they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're 6 games above 500 in those 9 series. Or the 7 series that they won. Or no, in the 9 series. No, it's 5 games above. Because they were one game. There were 4 games below. Now they're 2 games above. So
we're
6 games above. I'm not great at math. I'm not like Mike Schilt, who said he had to repeat algebra after the game last night. I'm not that bad at math. But on the fly, it's somewhere around 6 games above 500 over these last 9 series. When you win 7 out of 9, though, it feels like you should be even more above 500 than that.
And then their overall record, of course, they're 2 games above 500. So
correct.
It's like every time they win another series, I'm like, oh, great. That's awesome. And then you look at the standings, you're like, oh, they're still a game above 500 or a game below 500 even. So, yeah, get on a little run. Get streaky. Put some cushion behind you, you know, in the record there. And it's going to help you out down the road. Like you said, you don't want to go into September having to absolutely dominate. I don't think they'll need to have a September like they had last year, and they came up just short, but still.
You know, the other factor, I mentioned the Braxton Garrett factor. Our friend Skip Schumacher is a good manager and a competitor, and he will be aware of the fact that his team was a little lifeless, especially offensively, the last couple of days. And my guess would be he's probably not big on speeches, but there might be something said about, hey, guys, don't go out there and just roll over, you know, and lay an egg. I get it. We want to get home, but let's put our best foot forward and show something in the last game of this road trip before we leave San Diego. Let's not get swept. Let's show some pride. So I imagine there will be some sort of message like that, especially after the performance of the last couple of days where errors were costly on Monday and at-bats went through quickly yesterday with no runs put on the scoreboard. You know, they're major leaguers, and they will probably come with some pride in this game today. But if you can take an early lead, if you can step on them early, they will lose heart, and they will just be ready to be done with San Diego and go home. And good teams take care of business in games like this.
With Darvish on the hill today, like, you need to go get that sweep. Yesterday was the game that I thought if they were going to lose one,
I agree,
it would have been last night. Your 5 against their 1, a night game, which we know for whatever reason they have not been successful at home, lefty. Like, it was all of the right ingredients for a Padres loss. You won, and you won pretty handily. Like, Marlins were never really in that game last night.
But day games at home, they've been fine. I think 8-3 now in day games. 7-3, 8-3 in day games at home. Get one more win today. Win the homestand, 4-2. You lose today, you didn't do anything on this homestand. You went 3-3. You treaded water, which is okay. You had the Yankees come in, but you have a chance to win the homestand, continue to, you know, push the boulder forward over the course of the season and make your steps forward. At some point, the Padres are going to have a losing road trip. They're not going to continue to dominate on the road all season. I don't know. Will it be this week? They're going to Kansas City and Anaheim. They should have a good chance at a winning road trip. You know, if they can beat the series, you know, in Kansas City, then they'll have a great chance at it. But you can't count on playing 10 games above 500 on the road. Got to win some of these games at home. Have a winning homestand. Today is the day you take care of business. Get your first sweep of the season, your second 4-game winning streak. Have a nice flight. go to Kansas City, enjoy the day off, and come out looking for a five-game winning streak on Friday night in Kansas City. And I saw there's some Tier 1s who are going to be heading out to Woods, of course, the last time the Padres went to Kansas City, he went to those games 2 years ago.
Padres will see old friend Michael Wacha on Friday night.
Not Seth Lugo, though.
No Lugo.
He's pitching today, I think, and is going to miss the Padres in that series. Wacha's been okay. Lugo's been fantastic.
Yeah.
They will get Cole Reagans, I think, on Friday or on Sunday in the series finale. He's been really good for them as well. Kansas City's been a good team. That's a series, a very competitive playoff-like team so far in the American League. So that's going to be a tough one this weekend, which is why, again, you want to win today's game. Bullpen's in good shape. You know, everyone other than Estrada and Peralta got the day off, and neither of them threw a ton of pitches. My guess is if you needed either one of them, you probably could have them, but you've got Suarez fresh. You've got everybody else pretty fresh. You know, Morejon threw a couple of innings on Monday, but my guess is that Mike Schilt has whoever he needs in this game today, but you really shouldn't need him. You should have Yu Darvish.
Got to get this win.
You should have Yu Darvish going deep into this game with a lead, turning things over, make it simple. Give everyone a couple of days off here and come back on Friday and try to keep that momentum going on the road. And that's pretty much my thoughts on the San Diego Padres. Tomorrow, we will have Woodsy back. Not physically, but spiritually and auditorially, which is
audibly
back, which is probably what is most important for a radio program.
Camera. We'll have him visually if you watch on the stream.
You're going to take him the old equipment.
Yeah.
Just take the equipment with you and do the show. Well, that's what Woodsy is going to do the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'm heading over there after the show to drop off the equipment. And let's be honest, I'll probably go into his office and set it up for him, because the last thing that I want is we get to, 5:45 a.m. tomorrow morning. Paulie, I don't know how to work.
Where does this cord go?
What is this thing? I don't get it. So I'm going to just set it
up.
I'm
not much better, but I feel like I'm a little better.
I'm going to dummy proof it. Hey, turn on the power button, hit the connect button, good to go.
Done. And we'll hear from him tomorrow morning.
I got to pick up. The reason I'm going over there, because you live right down the street from him, it would make more sense for you to drop off the equipment. But I got to pick up the baseball gear out of his car, because the Tier 1s have the Sunday League. We have a Wednesday night game tonight in Escondido.
Is it a home game a night home game? Do you have the same struggles at home at night?
I don't know if we're home or away. We're undefeated.
They're mostly
at night.
Day games, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So. We're undefeated. We're 0-0
zero
in night games.
Right. I want to get to a couple of things quickly before we preview today's series finale against the Marlins. First, we got one more four-pack of tickets to give away. But the San Diego County Fair opens June 12th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds all the way through July 7th. Details at sdfair.com. But if you call now, third caller, Paulie's going to get to you. Be patient, because we got a couple other things to go. But call now, 833-288-0973. And we'll see if we can give away one more fair four-pack of tickets here on 97.3 The Fan. I also want to play the Incorporator again, because we had it, 4 hours
Got
ago
to.
In the morning. And it was such a good one from yesterday. We gave Jesse Agler the word crepuscular to try to work into last night's broadcast. It means having to do with twilight. Now, again, he was working with Bob Scanlon, who has also done the Incorporator before when he's filled in for Jesse. So just know that Bob is probably a little more attenuated to when something unusual comes out of Jesse's mouth during one of these broadcasts. So here's what it sounded like in the second inning last night against the Marlins.
And we set this up yesterday. We said, look, this is going to be an easy
word. Sure. Having to do with twilight during a baseball game, absolutely.
Easy.
But can you get it through in the broadcast without anybody noticing? And he could not.
Padres Petco Park struggles well documented at this point, particularly in night games. Ball outside, 2-1. And for whatever reason or reasons or non-reasons, this has not just been a great team at night at home. Not particularly nocturnal or crepuscular. Pitch here is inside, nearly hit him. They are 3-15 in night games at Petco Park. 9-3 in day games here in San Diego. Go figure.
Is that a Ben and Woods word you just slid in there, Jesse?
Obviously. 3-1 to Otto Lopez. The pitch is swung on, hit in the air to center field, straight away pretty deep, but Azokar tracks it down in the gap, and he will make the catch. So the palindromic Otto Lopez is out, one away here in the third. That was my own.
Well done.
It is a Tuesday. Number nine hitter catcher Nick Fortes.
That's a celebration.
It is a Tuesday. After all, Bob was on to him.
Exceptional verbiage.
Bob was definitely on
Word
to
Smith
him
that you
time.
Are.
Yep, crepuscular.
I can hear the smile on Jesse's face, the little smirk, that S-eating grin. I love that.
That was fantastic. Congratulations. We did get a winner for our fair tickets.
Yes, Keeley, going to the fair.
Keeley, good job calling in. Congratulations. All right, we'll preview the Padres-Marlins game right after our final check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. A Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Summer is our season. They're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie for National Flip-Flop Day. Grab your flip-flops, head to your local cafe today, May 29th, from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions apply. So we've been asking, are the Padres a good team? And I know one answer. A great team definitely wins today. A good team usually wins today's game and finishes off the sweep of the last place Marlins. And it's not simply because they're last place. We told you before the series that they've been playing good baseball, had won 8 of 11 before they arrived in San Diego. But I was at the game last night. What was the game? What was the total time of game last night?
2:01.
2:01. And Matt Waldron was in the strike zone, gets a ton of credit for that. But I also saw some poor at-bats by the Miami Marlins, a team that is on a West Coast road trip, just went to Arizona, San Diego, at the end, getaway day, last game of their road trip. This is a team that should be mentally vulnerable today to just, you take care of business, they're ready to get on a plane, get back home, get off the West Coast, get back to the East Coast. Quick outs. They're ready to go. They look like they were ready to go home last night.
Yes.
Now you've got Yu Darvish. If he's sharp, if Matt Waldron can do what he did, Yu Darvish can, you know, with all the kind of repertoire that he has against one of the weaker lineups in baseball, this should be a game that you win and win handily. And I will say that with one caveat. Braxton Garrett, who is the starter for the Marlins today, pitched a gem his last time out. And he hasn't been great this year. He's got an ERA over 5. But he's left-handed.
Good CG, right?
Complete game, I think 3 or 4 hitter against the Arizona Diamondbacks his last time out. Now, he threw a lot of pitches as well, which could play to your advantage with the San Diego Padres. But you're taking on a pitcher who found something in his last start, and you're hoping he doesn't have that, and you don't continue, you know, the struggles against left-handers, which are getting a little bit better. I mean, you've got Profar, you got Solano. Tatis had 2 hits last night. I think I saw the stat. Padres are hitting .277 against lefties in their last 5 games, which is way better than they were before. They got the average up to like .234. This is a game. If you want to tell me you're a good team, win this game. Complete the sweep. Get to 3 games above .500. I know the series win is already locked up, and you say, hey, we win series. You got to sweep a series occasionally to make some hay. To actually make a difference. You don't want to be the team that's constantly a game above 500, a game below 500, 2 above, 500, 2 below, 1 above. You want to be the team that hovers around 10 games above 500, which means when you get to August or September, you don't have to play your butt off to make the playoffs. You just have to win the games you're supposed to win, not go on a losing streak, and win a couple of series, and you'll cruise into the playoffs. If you go into September at 3 games above 500, you probably still have a chance, but then you got to play a really good last month. Don't put yourself
the pressure's on.
Don't put yourself in the position of last year where they absolutely had to win every single game. And they won 14 of 16. And guess what? They came up 2 games short of the playoffs. You can't put yourself in that position where you have to win every game down the stretch. Put yourself in a position where you have to play 540 baseball down the stretch, 520 baseball down the stretch, and you cruise into the playoffs with 4 or 5 games remaining. I'm fine with that for the San Diego Padres. And one way you do that and show that you're a good team is that you win today's game and you stomp on a team that is ready to go home and get on a plane and get back to Miami.
You got their ace yesterday. You handled your business. You got to win. I mean, look, of course, it's not a must win. those hardly exist in baseball and certainly don't exist in May in baseball. But man, like I've been saying all season, I'm like, I'm ready for this team to go get hot, go on a run, win 9 out of 11, you know, win 13 out of 15 or something. Like you got to start putting some wins together, and they've won their series over the last, what, 6 out of the last 8 or whatever it's been. And that's great and all, but ultimately, what's the record in those 8 series?
So, like, so they've won 7 of 9 series at this point, including this one now against the Marlins. They are currently, let's see, they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're 6 games above .500 in those 9 series. Or the 7 series that they won. Or no, in the 9 series, it was 5 games above. Because they were one game. There were 4 games below, now they're 2 games above. So
we're
6 games above.
Math.
I'm not great at math. I'm not like Mike Schilt, who said he had to repeat algebra after the game last night. I'm not that bad at math, but on the fly, it's somewhere around 6 games above .500 over these last 9 series. When you win 7 out of 9, though, it feels like you should be even more above 500 than that.
And then their overall record, of course, they're 2 games above .500. So
correct.
It's like every time they win another series, I'm like, oh, they're great. That's awesome. And then you look at the standings, you're like, oh, they're still a game above 500 or a game below 500 even. So, yeah, get on a little run. Get streaky. Put some cushion behind you, you know, in the record there. And it's going to help you out down the road. Like you said, you don't want to go into September having to absolutely dominate. I don't think they'll need to have a September like they had last year, and they came up just short, but still.
You know, the other factor, I mentioned the Braxton Garrett factor. Our friend Skip Schumacher is a good manager and a competitor, and he will be aware of the fact that his team was a little lifeless, especially offensively the last couple of days. And my guess would be, he's probably not big on speeches, but there might be something said about, hey guys, don't go out there and just roll over, you know, and lay an egg. I get it, we want to get home, but let's put our best foot forward and show something in the last game of this road trip before we leave San Diego. Let's not get swept. Let's show some pride. So I imagine there will be some sort of message like that, especially after the performance of the last couple of days where errors were costly on Monday, and at-bats went through quickly yesterday with no runs put on the scoreboard. You know, they're major leaguers, and they will probably come with some pride in this game today. But if you can take an early lead, if you can step on them early, they will lose heart, and they will just be ready to be done with San Diego and go home. And yeah, good teams take care of business in games like this.
With Darvish on the hill today, like, you need to go get that sweep. Yesterday was the game that I thought if they were going to lose one,
I agree,
it would have been last night. Your 5 against their 1, a night game, which we know for whatever reason they have not been successful at home, lefty. Like, it was all of the right ingredients for a Padres loss. You won, and you won pretty handily. Like, Marlins were never really in that game last night.
But so, day games at home, they've been fine. I think 8-3 now in day games. 7-3, 8-3 in day games at home. Get one more win today. Win the homestand, 4-2. You lose today, you didn't do anything on this homestand. You went 3-3. You treaded water, which is okay. You had the Yankees come in, but you have a chance to win the homestand, continue to, you know, push the boulder forward over the course of the season and make your steps forward. At some point, the Padres are going to have a losing road trip. They're not going to continue to dominate on the road all season. I don't know. Will it be this week? They're going to Kansas City and Anaheim. They should have a good chance at a winning road trip. You know, if they can beat the series, you know, in Kansas City, then they'll have a great chance at it. But you can't count on playing 10 games above 500 on the road. Got to win some of these games at home. Have a winning homestand. Today is the day you take care of business. Get your first sweep of the season, your second 4-game winning streak. Have a nice flight. Go to Kansas City. Enjoy the day off and come out looking for a 5-game winning streak on Friday night in Kansas City. And I saw there are some Tier 1s who are going to be heading out to Woods, of course. The last time the Padres went to Kansas City, he went to those games 2 years ago.
Padres will see old friend Michael Wacha on Friday night.
Not Seth Lugo, though.
No Lugo.
He's pitching today, I think, and is going to miss the Padres in that series. Wacha's been okay. Lugo's been fantastic.
Yeah.
They will get Cole Reagans, I think, on Friday or on Sunday in the series finale. He's been really good for them as well. Kansas City's been a good team. That's a series, a very competitive playoff-like team so far in the American League. So that's going to be a tough one this weekend, which is why, again, you want to win today's game. Bullpen's in good shape. You know, everyone other than Estrada and Peralta got the day off, and neither of them threw a ton of pitches. My guess is if you needed either one of them, you probably could have them, but you've got Suarez fresh. You've got everybody else pretty fresh. You know, Morejon threw a couple of innings on Monday, but my guess is that Mike Schilt has whoever he needs in this game today, but you really shouldn't need him. You should have Yu Darvish.
Got to get this win.
You should have Yu Darvish going deep into this game with a lead, turning things over, make it simple. Give everyone a couple of days off here and come back on Friday and try to keep that momentum going on the road. And that's pretty much my thoughts on the San Diego Padres. Tomorrow, we will have Woodsy back. Not physically, but spiritually and auditorially, which is
audibly
back, which is probably what is most important for a radio program.
Camera. We'll have him visually if you watch us on the stream.
You're going to take him the old equipment.
Yeah.
Just take the equipment with you and do the show. Well, that's what Woodsy is going to do the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'm heading over there after the show to drop off the equipment. And let's be honest, I'll probably go into his office and set it up for him, because the last thing that I want is we get to, 5:45 a.m. tomorrow morning. Paulie, I don't know how to work.
Where does this cord go?
What is this thing? I don't get it. So I'm going to just set it
up. I'm not much better, but I feel like I'm a little better.
I'm going to dummy proof it. Hey, turn on the power button, hit the connect button, good to go.
Done. And we'll hear from him tomorrow morning.
I got to pick up. The reason I'm going over there, because you live right down the street from him, it would make more sense for you to drop off the equipment. But I got to pick up the baseball gear out of his car, because the Tier 1s have the Sunday League. We have a Wednesday night game tonight in Escondido.
Is it a home game a night home game? Do you have the same struggles at home at night?
I don't know if we're home or away. We're undefeated.
You're mostly
night.
Day games, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're undefeated. We're 0-0 in night games. Right. So we will find out.
You don't
out.
Think Woodsy would show up, do you? He's like he's not that guy, right?
Well, he's making me drive up to his house to get the baseball.
After not working the last 2 days, he knows he can't play in the baseball game tonight. That's bad for him.
I think that's bad
for him. Very bad for him.
Like, he's talked about the guy that he used to work with at an office that called in sick to work, but then tried to play in the company softball game that night. Didn't work out too well. So, we will, the Tier 1s, I'll be managing the Tier 1s tonight, and hopefully we can keep things rolling and make another $100 donation to the Peter Seidler Fund.
It'll be a smart baseball Saris Thursday on the program today. He will join us at 8:35. And as Paulie semi-teased earlier today, he's hoping to have something somewhat special and different lined up based on something we played on the show last week. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, really. That was an extra clue right there for everybody on the program tomorrow. So hopefully a more regular sounding Ben and Woods when we return. But that is it for us today. Paul, you did a good job the last couple of days.
Hey, so did you.
Extra work for both of us, but we got through it. Annie and Elston are standing by with Braden for the next 4 hours. For the next 2 hours until they turn things over to Sam Levitt and the EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 12:10 today. For Paul Reindl, I'm Ben Higgins. Thank you, Tier 1s. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.